Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast. I'm Ben Eshmade, and on this week's archive edition, we step into a bleak, gloopy bubble of dangerous darkness and relive the terrifying sci-fi drama Under the Skin.
I think what we've made and what's interesting about it is looking at ourselves through this alien lens. I think there's something very striking about the mundane, the symphony of it all, the symphony of everything, you know.
This was the third film from British director Jonathan Glazer, following his critically acclaimed dramas Sexy Beast and Birth. In Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson stars as an unassuming alien preying on unwary hitchhikers in Glasgow.
No girlfriend, really.
Oh, I don't have a girlfriend at all.
Very charming. It's better.
Yeah, sorted.
You have a handsome face.
Aye.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, cheers.
You think I'm pretty?
Aye, you're gorgeous.
Do you?
Aye, definitely.
The film is loosely based on the cult book by Michael Faber of the same name. Back in 2013, I had the chance to speak to director Jonathan Glazer.
There was a gap of nearly 10 years between your second film, Birth, and your new film, Under the Skin. Was this a difficult project to get off the ground?
It was a difficult project to write, actually, I think, more than anything. Well, not. It was a difficult project to find the way to make it, find the story that we wanted to tell, because it was attached to, a novel. It was an adaptation of a book, very loosely. But even so, there's still that kind of starting point, and you're kind of rooted to that on some level. So you start off doing more kind of illustrative adaptations of it, and more faithful adaptations of it, and then you kind of get to a point where you sort of begin to break free of it more and more, and then you kind of almost completely detach from it. And, you know, that takes a long time. You have to be very rigorous with it. And, really the film that we made was really based on, obviously, that whole long journey of getting the material to a point that we wanted, that it felt satisfactory and we wanted to tell it. Well, the film that we made came from really sort of, I would say, three very dedicated years in a room. You know, a lot of activity around that in terms of visual conceptualization and, you know, camera development and obviously finance and, you know, all of that stuff. But really, the laboratory for this, which was a room that I wrote in with Walter Campbell, my co-writer for 3 years, really just sort of, in his words, kind of turning the soil of the material until it felt like it was bearing a fruit.
I mean, the thing about it is quite interesting is obviously you're talking about the struggle to work on the script is the fact that it's actually, there's not a lot of speech as such in the film. It's all about atmosphere, I suppose.
It's the atmosphere of it is obviously very, very key, and that you get to you achieve an atmosphere through the kind of unity of all the ingredients, really. You have to get them to a place where they're all unified, and then you sort of present a world, and then you need to be consistent with that. But dialogue was very, very difficult to, you know, in this film, the only dialogue that was required was dialogue that was, you know, part of her pickup routine, or you know, it's a dialogue that was essential. Mm. So the rest of the time you're with her, and there's no need for dialogue, or even if there is, there's no way of articulating using dialogue. So it relies on a visual language. It relies on how can you be lucid with pictures? How can the pictures kind of propel you forward, and with, you know, how can they communicate the ideas that we're trying to convey, you know, and that's a fantastically interesting challenge.
I mean, one of the things that struck me this is an incredible opening sequence, but once we sort of delve into the film, you're seeing the Glasgow streets. The only difference between this being a Glasgow you might go and see now and the one in the film is one of the elements which is strong in this film, which is the music and the sound design.
You mean were you to drive around Glasgow now, yeah, it would look as it does in the film, bar the music?
Yeah,
I'm sure that is true. In fact, we were in Glasgow last week at the Glasgow Film Festival, and it you know, we are driving through the same streets, and you know, it does feel like we're driving through the set of the film. But it's the real world. I mean, it's the film was the idea was really to have the method of filming match the narrative of the story. So to put her in the world as it is, not one that you've kind of recreated as a film set.
And that was obviously always quite a brave decision, I think, to a certain extent, because obviously, you know, the Birth and Sexy Beast, it's all that they were hyper real, they were fake worlds that you created, whereas now you went to elaborate lengths to actually sort of, you know, I suppose like it's like document filming, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. I think we understood that the prize of this was photographing things as they are. And not being detectable, so she was in disguise, and we were either in disguise ourselves or kind of absent, because the idea of her as this interloper in the world as it is, for us to understand, for us to recognise the world as it is and see her in it, it didn't feel like it could be improved any other way. It didn't feel like we could set it up and recreate it. It felt like it would be counterintuitive to do that, actually. It was more obvious to do it this way around once we discovered that this was the way to do it. And you feel her, there's something illicit going on because of that. And it feels like she shouldn't be there and we shouldn't be there. And that's all, I think that all plays into the atmosphere.
Did you always have Scarlett Johansson in mind? And what did you feel was sort of the alien aspects about her?
I mean, Scarlett and I were chatting about this for, you know, 3 or 4 years before we actually made the film. And the script was in lots of different, you know, had been through, you know, we'd taken it through lots of different incarnations, really. But once we, once we committed to this idea of disguise, it was very exciting to think of Scarlett as she is, but unfamiliar to us. So, and to sort of almost just parachute her in to the world as it is, and watch, and then have her interact, you know, with some of these guys who she was talking to, and actually, you know, have her stop and wind the window down and ask for directions, and then turn the conversation around to something she was more, you know, more kind of agenda based. And Scarlett just, it wasn't like casting a normal film at all. You didn't really get to cast her like you would an actress in a more conventional drama. It was more like, well, it's almost like the alien is, you know, the alien is manufacturing an actress, you know, and then the character of that actress is Scarlett Johansson. It's a very peculiar construction, actually. So it's not. I can't look at Scarlett in the film and think of any other film she's been in, and it be an equivalent of any of those. It's watching her behavior. It's witnessing her behavior.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The texture of the film has to be, texture of the casting had to be very carefully considered, because so much of the footage is shot through the windows of a moving vehicle or at people on the street, you know, going about their business or interacting with some of those people, or in nightclubs, shopping centres and so on. And these are just you and I going about our day, completely unguarded, completely unaware. And so any actor or non-actor that was pre-cast and was kind of aware that they were being used in a film production had to have the same truth about them. And that's really about, you know, looking at the right energy in somebody, actually, when you're casting, looking at the character and what that actor or non-actor or, you know, brings to that, and constructing it in such a way that you're not aware of the join. You're not suddenly going from the reality, the truth of things, to a lie. You don't want to feel like there's a lie going on apart from her. She's the lie. She's the conceit. Everything else needs to be completely real world around her. So yeah, that was a difficult process. Absolutely, it was. It's the skills of my casting director Colleen Crawford and the people that we did cast.
A lot has been said about obviously the realism that you went for. But what's quite interesting in the film is those moments where it switches from the realism to somewhere else. And I think maybe from speaking to you that when it does suddenly switch into the supernatural, it's more effective.
Yeah, it was about putting the alien realm cheek by jowl with ours. The more real the world was, the more we recognize the world as being real. Then when we work, when we enter these spaces, the kind of the reality of that almost floods in the room with you, and it's a very the context of those spaces become imbued by what's preceded them in the film. So suddenly you're in these dark spaces, and they are I hope they come across as being, you know, how they were intended to be, which is sort of very unfamiliar and where you have no compass. You know, in fact, the only compass you have in there is her. Or the only compass that many follower into this room have is her, and they keep their eyes on her. But what we see around them is the kind of world having kind of fallen away as we recognise it, and I think you're kind of thrown out of your comfort zone. So yes, Walter and I understood that the buzz between those two realities were you know part of the pleasure of watching the film.
It's also a film where you're obviously, you're never quite sure, I certainly wasn't, where the story's going. Mm. And you're a little bit scared of where it's going as well.
Mm. Well, it's a very subjective experience, and your hand isn't held through the film. You are kind of alongside her, and you experience things as she does. You learn, you see things fresh again, or you re-see things when she sees them. It was important to the way that we felt, thought of it and constructed it, that you were kind of falling through these experiences with her. You didn't have more information than she had. And because I know I obviously know the story and I know the construction of it and everything else, it's quite difficult for me to see just how disturbing that experience might be, or how frightening, as you said, it might be. I don't know. I'm not frightened by it because I know what's coming next. But I can appreciate what you say. I think it must be that way because we've really spent a great deal of time and energy on, you know, committing to this alien point of view. So once you've committed to an alien point of view in the way that you tell this film, the perspective of this film is her perspective. So we have to be with her, and to be with her is to be outside of where we normally are. So the experience has to stand alone somehow, stand outside of everything else to work, and that in itself is an alienating experience.
We can look at this film in the context of your other two films, but I think one thing that's interesting to mention is obviously that you've come from this history of making, you know, adverts and music promo videos, all of which are extremely visually rich. Obviously, with a film, you've got more time to expand on that.
I mean, making television commercials and music videos are quite different, actually. I mean, from each other. With television commercials, the ones I've been lucky enough to be involved with, you know, they were very much were approached as a kind of as singular pieces of work. You know, I looked at them as films. I didn't really look at them as TV commercials. So I thought, well, I want to do this as well as I can do them and tell a story as well as I can tell one. And so you're not kind of changing the way you think about them because they're a television commercial. So there's something very strong about having to communicate an idea or a feeling in a very short space of time. You're given very limited, very, very clear margins. And I like that, kind of the freedom within those margins to make something which can, you know, affect, you know, and be compelling. But there's to actually tell a story in a very short space of time, I think it's a very good discipline. And you understand, you learn about, you know, the power of images and the power of context as well, and what that how you can change the emphasis of something depending on the order of events that you show it, you know, and It's not that you make a film when you edit it at all. I mean, it has to be in your intention. Your intention is has to be in the. You have to photograph your intention. It has to be in there. But when you edit, you really can emphasize and steer and. You know, and I think that really was my film school. I never went to film school. That my film school became that, you know, making music videos and television commercials. And, you know, I'm pleased I did.
As people leave the cinema, what do you hope they will get from this film? Is there a sense of sort of maybe re-examining the everyday?
I hope that people enjoy where they've been. You know, I know that when I go to the cinema, I like to be taken somewhere. I like to be taken out of my life, and I like to enter another world and be immersed in that world and feel like I'm being shown something I haven't seen before and taken to places that challenge me and excite me and surprise me. You know, that's really it's the immersive experience that I look for when I go to the cinema. And you know, I hope. People come out of this and feel like they've had one of those. You know, what we've made and what's interesting about it is this perspective. It's how is looking at ourselves through this alien lens. And there's something kind of, I think there's something very striking about the mundane and what we're all so familiar with, and kind of. The symphony of it all, the symphony of everything, you know, kind of, I think there's something very beautiful. I hope there's something very beautiful in the film. And I hope that, you know, I think that's the thing that the character is you know, pulled towards is this, what it is to be us, whatever that is.
You don't want to wake up, do you?
Thanks to Jonathan Glazer for speaking to me. For me, it was a unique mix of Solaris, 2001, and The Man Who Fell to Earth, with a jaw-dropping score by Micah Levi. Though, to be honest, it's still a film you need to see for yourself. I'm Ben Eshmade. Thanks for listening to this archive edition of Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast, here to inspire more people to discover and love the arts with weekly episodes of archive finds and theme series. Subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you can, leave us a review to help us get the word out.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.